station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
On the drive to work, you tuned to a wacky, zany morning show and heard them say something distasteful. You can't believe your ears. You were just shocked by a shock jock.
Isn't that what a shock jock does?
Now, you're gonna do something about it.
Get that monster fired, yeah.
So the next time you see a guy protesting your favorite morning show because it messed with his PC sensibilities, exercise your First Amendment rights and give a single finger salute to Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio, a real American hero.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
You know, there is this thing called a tuner, and it actually lets you change the radio station. Isn't that incredible?
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the Morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, November 22nd, Thanksgiving week. And I'm excited. Kara is not here in the studio today. She had some things to do, I guess, so that were more important than the show. I know I'm being sarcastic, but, you know, well, what are you going to say? So I do have an excellent, a great, great friend and guest in the studio, and her name is Raquel. Good morning, Raquel.
Good morning, Sam.
Thank you
How
for coming
you?
In. Good, good. I'm already getting warm in here, and I don't think the air is working. I put it all the way down. And it's not working, so I'm a little sweaty.
Are you sweaty? I thought it was a little nipply in here.
I know. Can you believe how cold it is outside, though?
I know.
It's been like freezing here.
Well, they would laugh at us in the Midwest, because I think Minneapolis just had 8 or 9 inches.
Really?
And not in a good way.
Here we go. Give us a few minutes before we get into the inch part. Raquel, you have a show with us.
I do.
Called Taboo Topics, and it's Monday, every Monday at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been with us for a while, huh?
Almost. Oh. Well, like late February, early March will be my 1 year anniversary already.
Wow. How cool is that, huh?
I know. And I just had Dr. Lori on my show last week, and she started around the same time I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. How cool is that, huh? And you guys both have sex shows, but it's different approaches to sex.
Yes.
And get a little closer to the mic, Raquel, so we can hear you.
Get closer.
There you go.
There.
Yeah. So, Dr. Lori has she's a sex therapist, so she gets into sex from all kinds of different angles. But your show is about different kind of sex, right?
Well,
although
yeah.
sex is sex, but
sex is sex. I guess I wanted more of a tongue-in-cheek, you know, play on it. I want to break down barriers and have people have more comfort in talking about their sexuality, because if you can joke about it and laugh about it, I just think that opens up so many more doors, because in America, there is so many insecurities and taboos still about the sexuality. So it was awesome talking to Dr. Lori, because she, of course, has more of a clinical academic approach, and mine is more hands-on.
Experiential.
Hands-on, pun intended. And it was really fun, like, our dynamics together, because she, you know, is her pool of theory, and then my pool of theory, but we just both swam in the same pool together and had a great time.
Did you really?
And I loved her, and we laughed, and we had, you know, a really fun time, and I was trying to be so careful not to be too crass, and she goes, Raquel, I've heard your show. You know, you
can, she's
you
okay
can,
with that.
She you can say the F word, and yeah. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Dr. Lori told me to say it.
Yeah. So that's cool. So tell us a little bit about what you do. Most people probably don't. And, you know, I mean, I like what you do. You know, I never watch you in action, though, but maybe I should.
Ah! It'd probably be like watching your sister now because we're like friends and everything. Because I think that's what's so cool about porn is it is the mystery of you don't know these people.
Right.
So I think that's why couples and whatnot enjoy watching pornography together because it's that person you don't know.
Right.
And then I've had girlfriends say, oh, I can't watch you.
Really?
Because it's like you're like my sister. I know. It just takes that mystery out of it. And I think that's why, you know, men enjoy perusing the internet because there is such a variety of girls out there. And yeah. Or I shouldn't say girls. It's women.
Women. Girls, yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Everybody over 18. But I just think it's the mystique of you don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I do talk to couples about that are interested in maybe doing their first three-way.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell them never use somebody you know.
Right. Yeah.
Could ruin
that,
friendship.
That could ruin everything, huh?
Totally. And I just say, you know, it may seem hot and fun at the moment, but it's like waking up the next morning with that coyote ugly thing.
Yeah.
You know,
when
you're like, oh God, she looked really cute at 3 a.m., but not so much now. And I think people do change their minds in the next day when they're like, oh God. Yeah. You know, the wife is like, you know, I think you really had something from my friend Cindy. And what's up with that? You know,
and I know. It does. Yeah. So you don't want to do threesomes with people you know.
Never.
That's what you're saying.
That is so taboo.
Yeah.
Taboo. Don't do it. Don't ever do it.
So that's cool. You know, so, I mean, I like that you're into porn and stuff because many women deny that they're into porn and or maybe they're not into it, you know. When did you first discover you, like, get turned on by this stuff?
And, well, truthfully, when I was married in my early 20s, on my honeymoon, my husband filmed us. And I was mortified. Oh, my God. I had a hard time looking at it. And it felt creepy to me. And I think, you know, if you haven't tried something, you can't judge it.
Right.
And I used to wonder, you know, I never watched porn,
right.
You know, back then. And I used to think, like, God, how do these girls have sex with these guys and then go home and have a boyfriend or a husband? I don't understand that.
Right.
And truthfully, until you've experienced it, then I really got it. I thought, oh, my God, there is a difference between fucking and making love.
I see. Okay,
there
so
really
you discovered
is.
It. Yeah. obviously, you know, I mean, and I agree with you, and I think most men view it that way, where women do not necessarily, you know, and they mix the two, and it's hard for them to understand how men can just have sex without any emotional connection.
Because all those movies I used to see, you know, before I got into the adult industry, it would always be the guy getting caught cheating, and
right.
he'd go, but honey, it meant nothing.
Yeah.
And I can see why civilian women, they can't grasp, well, what do you mean it doesn't mean... It was nothing. And I get it now.
Right.
It's a warm place to put it.
Yeah.
And it really is.
Yeah.
You know, the chick might as well be a blow-up doll.
Yeah.
You know? Because she really is the sperm receptacle.
The receptor, right?
It is so true. And I had a hard time grasping that until I was able to walk in those shoes. And until you can separate it and understand there is a difference.
Right.
Then that's why, like... When I went to my first strip club, I was probably 28, 27, maybe, with the guy I was dating
right.
at the time.
You went with a guy.
I went with a guy, and I thought, wow, this is kind of cool. And we had the best sex that night. Yes.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
I always
you got turned on by it and stuff.
We
huh?
both did.
Right.
And I thought, God, that was harmless.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't no big deal.
Yeah.
But I think there's such a stigma in our country where there's like these women want to hate other women.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll judge. Because, like, I look at Ice-T's wife, and she's scary. What's her name? Coco? And, you
know. Yeah.
She's this voluptuous white chick with the badonkadonk butt.
Really?
You know? And she's got butt cleavage. Like, she'll wear a dress that shows butt cleavage. And I just think, you know what? There's a time and a place to be sexy. And I don't think dressing like a streetwalker... is, you know, you can do that in Vegas and get away with it, but I just think girls that go overly sexual, like Shauna Sands, which is Lorenzo Lamas' ex-wife, they had pictures of her in a pumpkin patch with a little skirt, like 3 inches big, you know, and her boobs all out, and that to me That's like trying too hard.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not sexy.
True, yeah.
Because what is it? Is it Muslim religion? You cover your hair?
Yeah, yeah. In many religions, I think you do. In Judaism, the women cover their hair too. The
because
Orthodox
that's
ones.
Supposed to be for their husband.
Right.
And I think in our culture, we've almost gone too extreme where I don't like to see young girls dress really sexy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I admit I did it. As a young girl, I laid down and like peeled my
But as you grow older,
peanuts.
You realize it doesn't look right. You
it
know?
Doesn't.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like pathetic, especially the older you get when right. women try to dress overly sexual. Mm. It's cool in the bedroom.
Yeah.
I'm sure guys are all about it, but when you're bumping around in public, I think yeah. it's overkill.
Yeah, and that's what I like about you. I mean, you come across as very classy, very this. You don't flaunt anything. You know, you don't look trashy.
And I just talk trashy.
Yeah, exactly. You know. But no, I think that's the way it should be, you know, because, I mean, you get a lot of skanky women, you know, that are just not... They're not attractive at all that get into the porn industry, you know.
Because there has to be that, like, I think there has to be that little edge to people where you can't be dressed like a hoochie, talk like a hoochie, and be a hoochie. Because yeah. where's the mystique? Because honestly, I get more turned on by a woman. I think that's why men love that secretary fantasy.
Mm.
Because the secretary fantasy, she's in the buttoned-up blouse.
Right, exactly. She looks like a teacher or something.
Yes.
And then you seduce her.
And That's she's got true. The skirt on, and she's uh-huh. got the heels on, but she looks sexy, but yet you want to know what's under the skirt.
Right, right.
You know? And I think the way people dress today, it's like there's no imagination what's under it.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
Yeah, because like I watched true. Sex in the City too, and uh-huh. they went to Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
And they were watching the women with the veils
with
on.
The burqa.
And I thought, you know, that's a little too much, too covered. But I could see how men would be like, wow, what's under that?
Yeah.
And what's under that is mine.
Right.
I only get to look at it. Maybe that's what turns their culture on is like, I get to be the only man to ever see this.
Right. But I don't know. I would want those surprises, you know? I mean, you
I know. That would
behind
be true.
That, veil.
That would be true. Because then, like, once you, you know, unveil everything, right. but, yeah.
you may not like what you see, you know?
That's true. You need to have a little guidance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Of what's happening.
No, absolutely. You know, and I think, and so at what age did you decide you really enjoy sex without, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm sure you can enjoy making love as well, but at what age did you decide, you know, I actually enjoy sex for the sake of sex?
Fun of it. I would say I was probably more like, I would say like early 30s. Because I made my first movie when I was 30.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say like my early 30s, I really started to explore my alter ego.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, you know, then I realized that was very liberating. Not like I went and did the football team.
Right.
But it was more like it was I don't even have sex with guys I date. I mean, I can go on a date and I feel like so many women go, oh, okay, now we got to do each other.
Right, right.
I don't. I've been
you
on
don't.
No.
You- Yeah.
I've been on a lot
you
of dates.
Feel you don't have to.
No, I don't have to.
If you're not attracted to the guy or something.
It,
yeah.
Or, you know, I think, God, you know, this is a great friendship. Why ruin it?
Right.
You know,
and
this
it
is
it does
like,
get ruined sometimes.
It can. Right? It can yeah. make things kind of uncomfortable or whatever. But, you know, I've just had different experiences where I just kind of, you know, in Key West, it was more like, you know, Millennium. It was New Year's Eve. And I had been drinking and I came on to a very conservative gal from Chicago, Mary Catherine, that had just got engaged.
Really?
And that to me was hot because she was so innocent looking. You know what I mean? I mean, she was
yeah.
not a young, young, young girl, but she was like, let's say she was 25. I was, let's say, 33 or something. And I thought, I want to see if I can seduce her.
Really? Had you done it before?
No.
So at what point did you decide you actually like women? Was that the first time you just felt attracted to her?
You know, I started... my first girl experience was actually at a bachelor party.
Oh, really?
Because I did a little bit of the bachelor party world about a year before I got into movies. And, you know, it was like a rush having the guys cheer and get real excited about our toys. And,
uh-huh.
you know, they just thought we were so interesting with our double-headed dildo and our pussy beads and, you know, all the little like magic show that we did with our sex toys. And that to me was so... amazing that, you know, the amount of attention that we, the power that we had.
Right.
to control these guys for this, like, say, 10-minute window of doing this hardcore two-girl show. They were mesmerized, and it was kind of a drug.
Wow.
Because you're getting high off, you know, I can see, like, people that are rock stars, the attention that they get from the crowd, the energy you get from the crowd.
Yeah.
And I felt that.
Really?
And I wasn't, like, turned on, you know, at the moment with that girl, because there was all this energy and screaming and, you know, it was like, you know, high volume.
Right.
But I will say that there have been times that I have done three ways and it's been fun.
Yeah.
I think women are fun. I'm not gay.
Right.
I'm not gay at all, but
But you keep your options open.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
I always tell civilian women, you can't knock until you try it, but I always think two, you know, all women are two drinks away from being a lesbian.
Really?
Yeah. They are.
That's a good thing.
I think a lot of people are slowly starting to explore more, but I just think there's nothing wrong. Like, remember that Katy Perry song, I Kissed a Girl and Liked
It?
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what? Uh-huh. It's different.
Yeah.
It's not the same chemistry I get with a man.
Right.
But a three-way, a good fun three-way with somebody you don't know is real exciting.
So let me understand the situation. You and another girl performed at a bachelor's party, right? Okay, now, the question is, I mean, was this like part of your job or something?
Yes.
Okay, so that's before you got into film.
Yes.
So, now, was this the first time you had sex with a girl that time? Really?
In front of a group of guys.
So they sent you on this job and they're saying, you know, you two girls have to get it on in front of these guys.
Well, I told this gal, she was 5 years older than me,
mm-hmm.
and her name was Jazz. And she goes, okay, here's what's going to happen. I go, oh my God, I've never done this before. I was so nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, okay, I'm going to lick you. You're going to lick me. We're going to do 69. And it was all choreographed.
Really?
And, okay, then we're going to bring out Fred and Barney, which is the double-headed dildo with the nut sack in the middle.
Fred and Barney.
Fred and Barney. And the guys loved it that we named our toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they loved it. So we go, oh, guys, we got Fred and Barney. And they're like, yeah. So then we would face each other with Fred and Barney.
Mm-hmm.
And we would do each other facing each other. Then the trick is you leave Fred and Barney inside you and to go through all the positions, and they thought we were like circus performers.
Yeah.
And we'd go like spoon, and then we'd go doggy, and then the Fred and Barney would not leave the tunnels.
Yeah.
And they were in there. And then we'd pull Fred and Barney out, switch them around, and we'd start blowing it.
Really?
And guys lost their minds.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And then the anal beads, you know, those are like the things that are connected on the string.
Right.
Jazz would put like 30 in her hoo-ha, and I would pull them out with my teeth, and the guys would start counting them.
Really?
One, two, and they were like 15, and because she could shove a bunch in there. I don't know how she did it, but she's very flexible. And then she would eat them. She would lick them off. And it was so cool.
So that turns you on?
It,
if it's like in your ass, you know?
No, it wasn't in her butt.
Oh, that's
she
right.
Put him
she put
in her
pussy.
In her pussy.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry. Okay.
What was so cool about that is it was shock value.
Yeah.
Because most guys in their 20s had never seen, I hadn't seen anything like that.
Right.
And Jazz had been doing the bachelor party circuit for probably 10 years at that time.
Oh, I see.
So she's like a seasoned bachelor chick. And she totally put me under her wing and trained me. She taught me how to do a chair flip.
Really?
What's
that?
And that's where like the bachelor is sitting in a chair,
mm-hmm.
and I would run up to him and I would put my hands on his knees.
Okay.
I would flip over his head.
Oh, really?
So my pussy would end up in his face.
Wow.
And then I did a split, and everybody just thought this was so cool.
Wow, it is cool.
And it was really like, you know, and then we started upgrading our party games. Like party games used to be like feed the kitty was a little piece of licorice.
Uh-huh.
The guy holds in his teeth and he's laying on the ground,
uh-huh.
and you sit over his face.
Really?
And you put the licorice in your hoo-ha.
Uh-huh.
Wow. And then whipped cream games.
So people can actually hire people to do this?
Yeah.
In the bathroom party? Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I should throw one for myself. You know? I mean, what the
Everybody,
hell,
you know what? Whether you're getting married or not, have a bachelor party.
Yeah.
Because I used to do like 4 or 5 a weekend.
Really?
Yeah, I was tired. Because we would go from house to house to house. It was like we had an agency.
Right.
And that, you know, you're giving so much of your energy, you're you know, high up, and then at the end of the night it could be like 3 a.m. by the time you're done.
Yeah.
And then we'd go like to Norm's and have breakfast. You know? We were like
back
tired.
Back to normal life, huh?
Yeah, and then go back to our normal lives. But it was true. Like a lot of us, my girlfriend was going through law school.
Really? Doing that?
Jessica Jewell, really? I met during a bachelor party.
Uh-huh.
And she was just graduating law school. And
really?
Then she passed the bar.
Yeah.
The first time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but
wow, that's amazing.
But so can't find,
smart.
Yeah. She can't find her way out of a paper bag, but yeah. She's one of those book smart people.
Uh-huh.
And then we made porn. Why? She was a licensed attorney.
Wow.
I know.
Wasn't she worried about her career?
She was, yeah. But she was like, oh, I'm going to wear a wig. And I just heard a funny story from James Bartholet recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just told me there was a girl that made some porn.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden she calls James and goes, oh, I want my pictures taken off the internet. Well, you know.
Oh,
that.
I know exactly who that is. Okay. And yeah, because he told me about this.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, the cat's out of the bag. You know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
No, exactly. I said, that's why I tell girls on my show, I said, please don't make movies under 25 because it'll follow you like luggage.
Yeah.
And you're not going to come in and disguise yourself.
Right.
And then nobody's going to know.
Yeah, people will know.
People are going to know. You that's know. Why I feel, you know, I feel good about it. I made my first movie at 30. I knew, number one, I didn't want children.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I knew I wasn't going to marry a political figure.
Right.
And, you know. And
so what the hell?
The only thing I didn't want my parents to find out, but I was blackmailed. So that was hard on them.
Really?
Because they're very religious.
Yeah.
And
you were blackmailed by someone?
My second husband.
Really?
He was a professional con artist.
Really?
Yeah. He stole a lot of money from me and he blackmailed me.
Wow.
I know. I was wife number four. He did that too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I have heard of a lot of girls in our industry that are targeted. Miko Lee
mm-hmm.
had a guy who portrayed himself to be her agent when she was 18 years old,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't want to work for him anymore. And he got so mad, he took all her pictures and put them in like people's yards and you
really?
Know what I mean,
like all
told
over
her
the
parents.
Place.
Yeah, he spent
wow.
he put like her pictures out to
uh-huh.
show people, look,
right.
and went to her work. I think she was working at like Stater Brothers
yeah.
in the deli. And uh-huh. he told, you know, he went. And that's unfortunately like if a girl's trying to keep a secret.
Yeah.
People can hurt them.
Yeah.
In a malicious way.
That's true. Yeah. You can blackmail
you're
them.
You're very vulnerable.
Right.
If you're not honest about it.
Right. So did he mm-hmm. have to tell your parents or did you end up telling your parents?
Oh, my God. He drove to my parents' house. I thought he was bluffing. And he put a disc in my dad's computer.
Oh my God!
But I don't know what was on it.
I'm
picturing the worst. But I'm not sure what he showed my dad. He
wow.
wanted to prove.
Yeah.
I mean that's just evil.
That is very evil.
Evil.
Wow.
I know.
It's amazing the people you spend you share a bed with and shit, you know, and your life would turn around and do this to you.
Yeah, and I look back, and this really was a person that I didn't know.
Right.
And I let my guard down because, you know, he goes, oh, I do Peter North's website. And this
uh-huh.
is like back, you know, like 98, 99.
Yeah.
And I did put my guard down because I felt like, oh, he's in our circle.
Right.
And it made me realize you can't trust anybody. I
right.
mean,
yeah.
I hate to say that, but it's like if you really are trying to keep something private, but
right.
now with the internet,
yeah.
you
forget
know,
forget about privacy, huh?
Yeah. Maybe in yeah. like 85,
yeah.
you could make some movies.
Yeah.
Right?
right.
But then now, I mean, is everybody that used to do movies, are they on the internet?
Right.
Because, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the movies are considered vintage now, right?
Yeah, that's true, like classics, yeah.
Exactly. So yeah. I'm thinking, what's going to happen to those girls that were trying to keep it really, really, really secret?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that you can, you know? I mean, how can you keep something like that secret? You know, I mean, you're putting yourself out there.
But see, there's the hypocrisy of our country, and it's like, we shouldn't have to be, you know, ashamed of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like I said, I was only trying to keep my parents protected. But you know what? We don't hear a funny story, Sam.
Uh-huh.
The only time I get recognized is at my mom's church.
Really?
Yes, because these women will come up to me and go, God, you look so familiar. And I can see my mom is like melting.
Right.
Her face is melting
and
off.
And where have the women seen you? I mean.
Well, obviously they're watching porn with their husbands because they and it's driving them crazy.
Really?
Because here I am, like you say, dressed normal.
Uh-huh.
And they're seeing me dressed.
Right.
And they're looking at me going, God, you look so familiar.
Yeah.
And I go, well, maybe we went to school together. And I'm like thinking, I know. I could just feel like my mom is like stiffening up and freaking out. But I thought, oh my God, that's where I get recognized at, is at my mom's church.
Really? Now, how long ago did they find out?
Ooh, that was like January 99, February 99.
Oh, so it's been a while.
It's been a while.
So they know what you do now, obviously.
Yes.
I mean, do you guys discuss it at all?
Pink elephant.
Yeah.
It is. It's the pink elephant. I mean, they know I'm working on my bra invention.
Right.
Actually, I have a tailor right across the street from the studio that I'm going to pick it up today, my prototype.
Uh-huh.
So I was pickpocketed in Vegas 15 years ago, and Miko Lee had $6,000 taken out of her purse at the casino.
Whoa.
Yes, and that saying, hand is quicker than the eye. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, I wouldn't have believed it if it hadn't have happened to me.
Right.
And I was broad daylight, bunch of girlfriends. We were on our way to pick up our Billy Ray Cyrus tickets. Mm-hmm. And I looked down and my purse was open.
Whoa.
And I felt nothing.
Whoa.
And they took $600 uh-huh. and my ID. And, you know, as a single woman, you don't want people to know where you live.
Right.
And plus, the money, once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
So I'm designing a bra that you can tuck money behind the cup.
Ah.
And it's secured.
How cool.
And then another compartment that holds one credit card and one ID.
Really?
And I have a really cool name that I've trademarked.
Yeah.
Where's the biggest place in the country that you keep money? Fort Knox.
Fort Knox, right.
So it's the Fort Knockers bra.
Fort Knockers.
In boobs we trust. And I'm going to actually wrap my car. I'm going to be like a driving billboard for bras.
Really?
Yeah. And then Tatiana across the street,
uh-huh.
she's making them for me. So I'll start taking orders.
Really?
So if you want your own
That's
bra
pretty
wallet.
Cool. Now, is it still comfortable where you don't really feel, I mean, because you're putting plastic cards in there.
Well, it's going to be a special pocket underneath your armpit.
I see.
So
okay.
That way you don't feel it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool, huh?
And it'll be great for, like, girls that go out clubbing.
Right.
You know,
you don't have to carry a purse.
You don't want
to
carry a purse.
Right.
And it's so much safer.
Yeah. And women have been putting money in their bras for years.
They're stuffing stuff in there all the time.
For centuries, yeah.
Yeah, but now this will be designed to
exactly.
really hold it because it could shimmy out.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
You could lose your stuff.
Wow, what a cool idea. Well, I hope that it catches on. You know?
I know.
I mean, I'm sure it will. You just got to market it, make people know that it exists.
Exactly.
And that, wow, that's pretty cool. So you're an entrepreneur as well.
Yes, I have some other things I'm working on. I love scary movies, so actually I want to put together a screenplay
uh-huh.
for a scary movie that
really?
Actually stars maybe a few porn stars.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
an R-rated
but
movie.
But you want a mainstream movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love scary movies, and I think if it's done with a really good script, I love suspense, not gore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I want a really good story.
I know. There's a lot of gory movies, you know? It's like, why would you go see that shit?
Well, see, that's why, like, with porn, for a woman, or for me, I'm more turned on by an R-rated sex scene.
Ah.
Do you know what I mean?
When you can't see everything.
Exactly.
Right.
And for me, like the whole...
Because you are still a woman after all.
I am. I mean, I'm like...
You need to have a setting.
I like to have...
Story.
That,
you know?
Like, yeah, the story. And then I like that whole where you can see stuff, but not really. And that's that whole thing with my horror movies, scary mm-hmm. movies. I want to be scared, but I don't want to see somebody's guts be hacked
right,
out.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know.
But I get, like, guys, they need the full throttle
right.
of porn. Because you guys are wired very different. You're
right.
visual.
Very visual.
Got to see it.
Yeah.
Got to see it.
Got to see it.
But I think with scary movies, it can be, like... I think with the right music, because music so sucks people in.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's how Halloween got sold.
Yeah.
And he showed it without the music. She said, that's not scary.
Really?
She hated it, the executive.
Uh-huh.
And then John Carpenter, whose dad was a composer, and he was a USC graduate, he went home and did that music
and
in one
music,
day.
And then it became like a classic.
Yes.
Wow.
And the music is chilling.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's what it needs. And see, like, isn't it sad, like, porn, we have all that cheese ball music.
Right.
Maybe it would be better with better music.
Yeah, there you go.
Because it's always that spam music, you know, it's just cheesy.
I know, like wedding music or something.
I know. And I just think, like, well, how come nobody's, I guess, you know, it's always been so turn and burn with porn that, you know, it's been so rare that, like, the pirate movie.
Right.
They actually spent money on that.
Really?
You know, with the costumes and a little bit of special effects.
A pirate porn movie.
That pirate movie. What was it called? Was it called the pirate movie?
Are you talking about a porn one?
Yeah. The porno movie.
I don't know that one.
Oh, okay. It was with some big stars, and it actually did
not Pirates
well.
Of the Caribbean, obviously.
Yeah, it was like a spinoff.
Yeah.
But I thought that was, to me, that was hotter, because they all had those clothes on.
Right.
And you know, lift the skirts up and unlace the bodice. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot hotter than just being naked.
That's true. That's true. Now, in your films, do you have just Gonzo stuff, or I mean, do you get like into plots and stories and shit like that?
I love the storylines. Well, now that when I came back 2 years ago to film again, I was gone for like 10 years, because I'm the MILF cougar. It's so, these cheeseball scenes are so funny, because they'll have me like, I'm always the mom, and like my son's away for college, and his buddy is coming over to look at a room to rent,
right.
And I bend over into the bathtub and go, see, I got this nice big bathtub, and ooh, and then you start, you know, grabbing him and fondling him, and then he's like, wait, Mrs. So-and-so, what are you doing?
Wow.
And, you know, I molest all these 25-year-olds.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of funny. I'm like thinking, oh, my God, they were born when I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
yeah, I know.
Kind of weird.
Is it weird for you?
I don't. The scenes I really don't like is, God, they had fuck me and my mom, and they had this girl that was like 18 years old that looked very young,
mm-hmm.
playing my daughter.
Right.
And in the movie, you can't touch each other. Like, you can pretend that, you know, that's my daughter, but right. and we're having sex with the same guy.
Right, but you don't touch each other, because it's not logical that the mother and the daughter would have.
Yeah, there's actually lewd laws. Like, that's why Max Hardcore is in jail.
Oh, really?
For 5 years, because he was selling movies into Florida that, like, certain states in the South
mm-hmm.
have very strict laws of what you can and can't show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's this. Wow. I just heard on the radio, Alabama
mm-hmm.
they have sex stores, and they just passed this law that you can only buy sex toys through a drive-thru.
Oh, really?
The window. And
really?
Guess how many drive-thru windows this one store has?
Really?
Three.
Three drive.
We don't even have that much for In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, there
but
you go.
That's how, like, you know, there's all these rules. Like, my friend used to run sex stores in Georgia,
uh-huh.
like 10 years ago. And the dildo could be sold, but it had to look like a banana.
Oh, really? So it can't look like a cock or anything.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
And this is like the South, which is the last of the old school,
right.
you know, and you can't give blowjobs. To your husband.
Really?
Wait, no, wait. You can't do anal sex. There's like these sodomy laws that are old, but still.
Right.
In there, you get caught having anal sex, you can go to jail.
Really?
Yes.
So you can't portray that in the movies.
There are certain states that the porn, I'm sure, like, you know, you can't show this, can't do this because of the laws of each state.
Right, right.
And so Max Hardcore, like, thumbed his, you know, finger at the law, and I really do think that he thought he was untouchable.
Right.
And he probably thought, oh, what can they do to me?
Yeah.
You know, but he was really into that young girl stuff.
Really?
And so I didn't even like doing it. I had somebody email me, was that really your daughter? And I was like,
whoa.
Oh, my God. That's scary when people think they really took it literal.
Right, right.
Like,
but it's amazing that this stuff turns people on, you know, or men,
know.
Obviously, you know. They get turned on by every little kink and shit, you know. It's, like, amazing.
Yeah, like, that's what I was so interested to talk to Dr. Lori about, because I said, ooh, I want to know, like, why people have certain fetishes. Like, mm-hmm. what happened to them when they were a little kid that makes them like
right.
XYZ, you
right.
know? Especially, like, I don't understand the whole golden brown shower fetishes.
Oh, my God, yes.
I don't get that. And I thought, were they humiliated as children?
Probably,
you know, with the diaper? And to me, I don't understand it, but I still find it interesting, like, why somebody maybe likes pain.
Right.
You know,
uh-huh.
I can
and bondage
get...
bondage and...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like the Wall Street types.
Right.
I can get why they like to be controlled, because they're in such a high power, high pressure position at work. They want to sexually be so vulnerable.
Right.
Like, I saw that Pandora's Box video
uh-huh.
one time, and this guy was in a diaper, and he was in a cage, and she was whacking the cage with a like a riding crop.
Right.
And he's like, yes, mistress. Yes,
wow.
mistress. And I thought, wow, look at this guy. He probably makes, you know, $350,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
wears $5,000 suits, but he needs somebody to scold him.
Yeah.
and just be real vulnerable.
Like sort of an infantile fantasy or something.
Or guys that, you know, call me daddy or, you know, like there's all these like, you know, like let's pretend that, you know, some people are really into their role playing.
Yeah. Wow.
You know,
wow,
and I think
amazing.
It's fun in a certain way, you know, but I don't like it. You know, like I always say, I protect children and animals. I don't like anybody to do anything weird with them. I don't even want to hear about the donkey shows.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing people are into that, too, you know.
But
that's why I'm saying that, you know, I think all this stuff happens because we're first exposed to sex when we're really young.
Yeah.
And we're not... Most of us are not prepared to handle that.
No.
So it starts, you know, leaving like scars and memories and things like that, you know. And, you know, it stays with you. It stays with you till the end of time, you know. And that's why it's hard for us to understand why adults would practice something like this, you know. But it does have some infantile, you know, like origins to it.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So.
Because that's why
know.
I was like said, you know, talking to Dr. Lori, you know, she was explaining some things, mm-hmm. you know, of how things are triggered,
right.
or like you get that thumbprint stamped on you very young of how it translates into your adulthood.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
That's true. Yeah. Did you experience sex early on, or?
I was 14, almost 15.
Okay.
And I had a boyfriend and. We did things very slowly. I can say I was not pressured in the back seat of some car. You know, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
I really was in love.
So you took your time.
Totally. And I felt like I was always a lot older than I was. Mm. You know what I mean? Emotionally. Like, I felt like a woman at 14.
Wow.
I really felt... I was not like an immature girl.
Right.
You know, I was always... I mean, I was reading... novels very young, and like at 8 years old I had a 10th grade reading level.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, our next door neighbor had a lot of erotica.
Really?
Because back then we didn't really have, you know, I didn't even know what a VCR was, or there was probably maybe I don't know if there was Beta in 1976, but 75 76 our neighbor
there wasn't any video.
There was nothing then. Was there?
No.
I would go next door and we'd read.
Really?
And I read and read and read, and I was so turned on, but it was a lot of erotica.
Yeah.
But then I got into reading other stuff, too.
It's funny, because I used to do the same thing. I'd go into the bookstores and steal a book, like shoplift it, because I was too young to buy it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I remember very young reading stuff I shouldn't have, but it was even, you know what it is? And when you know you shouldn't be reading it, you want to read it even more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because you figure that's for adults, you know, and I'm a kid and I get to,
and
to get
curious.
Into this stuff. Yeah.
And I used to love to look at the Sears catalog with the bras.
Uh-huh.
I did.
Yeah.
Like I said, it wasn't a gay thing, but it was a sexuality thing. I was like, wow, these women, I hope someday I can have boobs.
Yeah.
And of course I never did, but I bought them. But I remember like looking at her boobs and going, oh, that's exactly how I want to look.
Yeah.
I need those boobs.
Really?
And I was so jealous. These women just, they look so... like Marilyn Monroe and Jane Mansfield and
naturally
they were voluptuous. And that's why to this day I don't like real skinny women. I think it's so much like Mad Men.
Yeah.
That Christina Hendricks with the red hair.
Right. Is she very skinny or something?
No, she's voluptuous.
Oh, she's voluptuous. Okay.
And I think she's the hottest chick on there.
Really?
Because she's built like a woman.
Yeah, I think it's sort of coming back. You know,
I love that.
I think people have had it with really skinny girls and that, you know?
I laid on a chick that was like anorexic, and it felt like softballs where her fake boobs were, and I could feel her hip bones poking into me.
Wow.
And I thought, women are supposed to be soft.
Yeah.
And I was laying on that, and I thought, this is not hot.
Yeah.
There was nothing about her bag of bones that turned me on. And unfortunately, I did see a time in the industry where, God, maybe it was like 5 years ago, I went to AVN, and I thought, is everybody starving themselves?
Yeah.
Because I really looked around, and I saw the trout pout lips, the fake boobs, and then everybody was emaciated.
Really?
And that's where the drugs come in, because they're doing drugs to stay skinny, and I think, that's not hot.
That's terrible, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And in the mainstream, too.
Yeah.
You know, look at Portia de Rossi just came out with being bulimic.
Right.
And she was living on like 300 calories a day.
Really? Wow.
How would you... How would you be horny on 300 calories? I mean, I gotta be fed.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want my stomach churning. As you know, you can't. How do you feel sexual?
Yeah. No, you that's know? True. That's true. God, there's so many things I want to ask you, and we're almost out of time.
Oh.
But I did want to ask you. I mean, do you ever have orgasms on film, or is it more like just acting?
You know, I've heard of girls that have had orgasms. For me, I think an orgasm is so personal.
Right.
Like, I'm playing a character in my movies, and so I don't allow myself to go there because I'm acting my character. And to me, like I said, an orgasm to me is very personal.
Right. And besides, I think to achieve one, it's not necessarily visually striking, you know?
Right.
Like if you go down on a woman and stuff, it's like, you know, you got to keep the rhythm. You got to keep everything. And sometimes it can take a long time.
Well, and I always tell people, too, what you guys are seeing, it's for show. The camera angles and everything that are pleasing to the camera don't necessarily feel good.
Exactly, and it's not comfortable.
Open up, move your hair.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if people saw the behind the scenes of a filming of a porn,
right,
I don't think they would get it. You know, they would understand, you know, it's like a gynecologist. Oh, you have the best job in the world looking pussy all day. But, you know, he's like, oh, please.
But he's looking at the different parts of the pussy, yeah.
Yes, exactly. He's looking at the cervix. And I think that's my best analogy is like, you know, just because he's feeling boobs and looking at hoo-ha all day, it's not...
Yeah, it's not a turn-on necessarily.
No.
Yeah, you're right about that, yeah. So, I mean, how did you decide you're going to get into it? Was it the money? Was it because you liked sex a lot? What was the thinking behind that?
I think it partly, I've always, if somebody told me I couldn't do something, I wanted to do it. Yeah, I got a little bit of a rebellious streak. Where, you know, I'm not like I'm going to go sell drugs on the corner, but I always felt very sexual, very young. Like, I remember as early as 5 years old having these sexual feelings and not knowing what that meant and not knowing who to talk to.
Right.
And that's why, you know, it is important to talk to your kids very young and make them feel safe to come to you and talk to you because I knew very young my parents were very uncomfortable about sex.
Right.
So I never had a safe place to go talk to anybody.
Mm.
But I knew I had these adult feelings, but I didn't know what to do with them. And I would say as an adult, I seriously wanted to explore my sexuality because everybody, as a child, you're always told you can't. Don't masturbate.
Right?
You're going to go blind. And I thought, God, why does everybody put such a social stigma on sexuality? And why is there all these negative connotations to masturbation and being sexual?
Right.
So I really wanted to explore that.
Wow.
And the more I explored it, the more I thought, God, like interviewing that girl from Montreal a few months ago, it was so refreshing to have a confident 21-year-old woman that, you know, she had some orgies, you know, on her own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that wasn't the adult industry that made her, you know.
Right. She already had it in her.
she goes, in Montreal, we're so comfortable with our sexuality.
Yeah.
You know, like, and if you go to Europe, everybody's so much
That's
more,
true.
Like, the commercials in Europe, they're just more...
More laid back,
Yeah! So I think it was my desire to... My curiosity.
Right.
To explore myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, did you have a desire also to have a lot of different partners and things like that, just to experience it?
You know, I think it's good, because, you know, if you don't masturbate, you don't know what feels good and what doesn't.
Right.
So masturbation is all about finding what you like and what you don't like. And then different sexual partners add, you know, it's like adding seasoning to your pasta or your dish.
Yeah.
You know, you're exploring things. And like my boyfriend, when I was like 26, he was a lot older than me. He was the one that first introduced me to the Hitachi magic wand, which I still love.
Really?
And how would I have known that?
Uh-huh.
If I had been with the same sexual partner.
That's true.
Because we all have our way of doing something. But if you don't explore, how do you know what you like?
Yeah, that's true.
Because I tried anal sex. Hate it.
Yeah.
But hey, at least I tried it.
Yeah, there you go.
You know? And I always say, try everything in life once and the fun things twice.
or at least twice.
Or at least twice.
Cool. So tell people where they can find you, where they can what movies you've been in, and so people can look it up.
You can Google me, or Raquel Devine, D-E-V-I-N-E. I think there's a lot of stuff on freeones.com. You know, I have so much stuff out there. But
yeah. Well, I'll be honest that I Googled your name a couple times. So, yeah, if you guys do that, you'll find all the...
A truckload.
Yeah.
Gee, Sam, how do I delete all that stuff off the internet?
Yeah.
How do I do that? You know what? Somebody could make a fortune if they knew how to do that.
That's true, huh?
Serious.
Yeah.
The
but
next
no,
Facebook the, guy.
Yeah.
Erasebook.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
I know.
But the amazing thing is you're comfortable with it. It doesn't bother you. You know, you're totally... into it, and you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, you're doing something and then you hate yourself.
Right. And, you know? Oh, I always say, Sam, if you have to do drugs or drink to do a scene, it's not for you.
Don't do it, huh?
Please don't do it, because I have never had to do anything to do a scene. Or
right.
I remember seeing girls drink before a bachelor party.
Right.
And I like I said, I wanted to be there. I wanted to be present. I love people. I get a rush off of people. And I hope by doing Taboo Topics Mondays at 6 o'clock on your show, I mean your station and everything,
right,
that I can be, you know, make people feel a little better about their sexuality.
Yeah, yeah. And you're doing a great job. I mean, I love your show, you know. And
oh, thank you.
You always have people from the industry and stuff. You had like Nina Hartley the
yeah,
other day.
She's
huh?
awesome. Yeah, she's awesome. I mean, so well-spoken.
Yeah,
classy.
I know. She's become like an advocate in the industry,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. And so intelligent. And I could just listen to her for hours. I hated that our time was so short with her, but I got to have her on like the whole hour.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody. So listen to Taboo Topics with Raquel Devine. It's on every Monday at 6. So that means tonight at 6. And and then Google her. And what about your website? You know, I think you need some work on your website.
I do.
Yeah.
I it's kind of just
because
sitting there. I don't know what to do with it.
You can make a lot of money from it. Just meet the right people. You know?
I know. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it could set you up for life, you know? I mean... Yeah.
Well, it's just there's so much competition out there, and I'm not really making new content. So I truthfully, it's kind of sitting there because I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, but you would make new content if you had your own website. You know, if you knew it's making you a lot of money, what the hell, you know?
Maybe I'll put my bras on there. Buy some bras from me.
There you go. Yeah, stay tuned for the Fort Knockers bra.
Exactly. Coming to your boobs near you.
We'll announce them when they're out there. Raquel, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh,
thank
you.
A lot of fun, and we'll probably have you back if you want to come back.
Definitely.
When Kara's here, and we'll embarrass the shit out of
her. All right.
And so everybody, thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.